You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
So we're here to talk about vlogging today. I have invited five different vloggers. I hope they're all different, not the same people. I think that they represent a unique spectrum of different areas of vlogging, and each person vlogs in a different way. But before we begin, let me just say real quick, if you are to the uninitiated, that a vlog is a video weblog. And they're not new. They've been around for several years now, just the same way that blogging had been around for several years before it became suddenly an overnight hyped up thing. But I think vlogging has really come into its own in the last year or two. And we saw that last year with the success of several pretty big vlogs out there. Some of my favorites were Ask a Ninja and Rocket Boom and the show with Zay Frank. And those are just a small group of vlogs. There are many different vlogs, many different styles. And we also saw VloggerCon last year and the Vloggies, which was an awards show for some of the successful vlogs out there. So so I want to encourage you to ask questions. I do have some questions of my own just to get us started. But if you have a question, just raise your hand and introduce yourself and then ask a question. And we'll go ahead and get started. I'm going to just ask each person to introduce yourself. Tell your name, tell what your vlog is, and why you started vlogging. So we'll just go ahead and start here on the end with Grayson.
I'm Grayson Daughters, and I have a vlog, True Grits. That's True Grits with a Z on the end.com. And just piloted a show for Jeff Haney back there. He has he's starting a vlog called Southern Fried Tech. And also blog at Spacey Gracie Review.
My name is Chris Daniel. I do a video blog or video podcast called Intune.tv. It's a letter N, T-U-N-E.tv. It's a it features music, art, and culture in North Carolina, and it's a lot of bands, a lot of events, that kind of thing. I also have a personal video blog as well, and that's chrisdaniel.blogspot.com. It's just family stuff and anything I want to throw in there, basically.
My name is Ajit Anthony Prame. I blog at Squiggleblue.com, it's a weird name, don't ask. Did you ask why we got into
vlogging? Yeah, if you want to share, actually what I said, I would also tell how long you've been doing it and why you kind of started vlogging.
I'm a newbie, actually, with video blogging. I've been vlogging for about a year now. The reason why, I think, I have a background in film, and pretty much like any visual medium was exciting to me. The reason I chose video blogging over something else, I think, is I love the internet. I love the idea of publishing and having an audience, pretty much like a world, you know, like a pretty worldwide web kind of thing. It's just like, it's wonderful. And software and stuff excites me as well. So it's like a perfect match. And that's pretty much it.
My name is Kerry Rogers. I started a personal website just as a creative outlet back 2005. And at some point, I thought some of my ideas would be better through video. And I did a couple, didn't really know anything about video blogging. And then I came across Zay Frank, and I was just like really wild by that and inspired. And that kind of got me kickstarted doing more video on my personal website. And then beginning of this year, a friend and I were in an improv sketch comedy troupe. We decided to do a weekly sketch comedy show. So we're doing a weekly show with my friend James in the back. Raise your hand, James, please.
Yay, James.
My name is Erin Neely, and my video blog is called Mom's Brag Vlog. And it's all family, personal video blog. We have two daughters. My oldest one's 5 and my youngest one's 3. And I started recording video footage a long time before I started putting it online. I got my first camcorder when my first daughter was born. I just started recording video, started playing around with iMovie. And then later on, I decided that my family lives far away, and so I really was trying to find a way to get it online so that they could see it and kind of keep in touch. So then I was looking at options online. I found a video blog, stevegarfield.com, and I kind of looked through his site, and I realized that was exactly what I wanted to do, is have kind of an archive, videos on a blog. It was just perfect. So from his site, I found a site called freeblog.org that talks about how to set up your video blog using all free tools. And so it wasn't long before I had a couple of videos on the web, and I've been doing it for about 2 years now. So.
And I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Ben Ramsey, and I don't have a video web blog right now, but I am in the process of trying to kind of produce three different ones, or produce three different concepts. So that's who I am. The next thing I wanted to talk about before... okay, go ahead. Yeah.
There was a question about tools, and I didn't get the website.
Freevlog.org.
So what I want to do, this next question is just one I'm getting out of the way, because it's something that people often ask, but I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because I don't think it's the most interesting part. And that is, for producing your web blogs or your video web blogs, what kind of equipment do you use, and how long does that normally take you to do?
Just anybody.
Anybody. Okay, we'll
I started out using iMovie and just a little Sony mini DV cam. It was really easy to import the footage and edit it together, export it to a file, and upload it to, you know, if you got blip.tv or YouTube or Rever or whatever you want. And as I pushed the bounds of iMovie, I went to Final Cut Express and added some external microphones as the more you got into it. But just the camera and iMovie was all I needed for the first year, I would say.
Yeah, I use a very nice Sony DV cam that was actually given to me. It's a long story. I won't bore you with that. But it's sort of like a semi-professional grade camera. However, I'm different in that I can't stand editing. I don't even want to go to iMovie. I don't want to touch it. I certainly don't want to go to Final Cut Pro. I just come from a corporate, you know, mainstream background where other people edited all the video I produced. So it still terrifies me, even iMovie, to use. So I really admire these people who shoot and can cut their own video. I don't really have the capacity or the patience to do that, so I usually use a separate editor who is skilled at laying down audio, laying down video together, doing the graphics. That's all just beyond me. But shooting pictures and producing, I can do that.
I use three separate three-chip cameras. I use a Panasonic DVX-100A, a DVX-100B, and a DVC-30. I've got two guys helping me out. We shoot a lot of concert footage, that sort of thing. And I edit with the Final Cut Pro Suite. Soundtrack Pro as well helps me out with the audio. And lots of time during the week is spent editing, actually. Three different camera angles and a couple audio feeds as well, because we have... we capture with a Zoom H4 device from the board, and we also have camera mixes we throw in. So, a lot of time.
I'm pretty similar setup to his DV camera, and also more recently I've been using this little Canon PowerShots, same resolution, but pretty close in frame size. I think we were talking earlier, and we were talking about how much we love Blip TV as a hosting site, and like that's one of the things we. Also, the software which I use to compress is Sorensen Squeeze, which I think is like really one of the best like video compressing softwares. The video, the last part of it, the Sorensen Sorensen Squeeze.
You're saying Blip TV, B-L-I-P?
Blip.tv.
It's free hosting.
Quick question. My name is Dave Owen. I'm from Atlanta. And what format
do you like to put your final video in for posting on the web?
I mean, I love QuickTime. I think Flash is where it seems like a lot. It's like most people have Flash. And so I use QuickTime in my RSS feed and Flash on my main page website.
So
you use .mov? Yes, .mov.
I mainly use QuickTime as well. Just mainly, I compress H.264, 320 by 240, and it's format compatible with iPod. So I mainly use that as my format, but I've got other formats to use as well.
I know we put out True Grits in several different Flash and QuickTime, of course, and probably a couple other versions. I try to stay away from too much of the technical side of doing it, but my partner puts it out in any way she can, really. I mean, she'll output in anything. So.
QuickTime is, I mean, resolution-wise, QuickTime is my favorite.
Is there another question?
Yeah, I Shelby Highsmith, ShelbyNader.com. I'm a huge fan of Blip TV as well, and I was hoping the two of you who are clearly Blip fans could expound for the rest of the audience what you like about it in terms of the licensing and its emerging monetizing aspects.
When you post on Blip, you have option to, you can put a Creative Commons license on your video. They also have really nice stat feature. I love what else?
Cross posting
to your blog, your personal blog, or
it'll cross post to your blog or Mice if you have a MySpace account. You know, promotions, you can cross post it there. And when you upload a file, you can tell it, okay, here's my main file, and then here are the different formats I want to upload for this particular show or episode or whatever it is. And you can have, you know, your QuickTime, your Windows Media. It'll do Flash conversion for you, and it all is in, you know, one. You don't have stats for every single file. Any play for those individual files is for that show that you have. It's nice.
And like YouTube, the Flash codec is so horrible. And I mean, it really is. And while Blip TV is really like, it's as good as like as a desktop software compression. You also get with Blip TV, you actually have the direct link to the files, like FLV and the .mov files. So I keep my player, like I have like a customized player, a Flash player, and I just point the player to the Blip TV Flash file. It's a great little, like, you know, no one else does that pretty much. They have features like for advertising, intros, outros, logos. You can add like your own stuff. And the guy is just really cool, the one in charge, Mike, I think, Haddock or
Hudak.
Really cool.
Do you guys, do any of you use the sort of an open Creative Commons license with your videos? Because I know a big aspect that I try and tell my associates to use Blip TV is that one way to help increase, you know, in terms of if you're trying to get a message across, is to allow people to mash it up with their own content. And with YouTube, I know there are websites out there where you can sort of try and mash things up, but it's not very pretty. Whereas, you know, with Blip TV, they can download the .mov file, and if you give them a share alike license, then they can take the piece that they want. You know, especially if you have a long video and they only want 30 seconds of it, then you can enable that so that people can take certain parts of your content and redistribute it.
When you upload your file, you can select a license, either, you know, copyrighted by you, no rights, or no reserved rights, whatever, and then you can select a from the different Creative Commons license for each individual file that you upload.
Hi, my name is Pat Mahoney. I'm with 8 Alarm Marketing. I was going to ask you about the size of files that you post with YouTube images. I have the problem that the images aren't very clear. When you compress the file, it looks pretty crappy, and it makes me feel bad as an artist.
The secret to YouTube, at least what I've found out, is like the resolution is not as important as the actual frame size. So if you bring down the compression with the bit rate to maybe 200 or so, but keep the frame size big, it helps the YouTube compression. The other question, I try to keep it between like 20 and 60 megabytes.
All right, does anyone have any other questions about the technology involved. Do you guys have anything else you want to add to about the technology discussion?
One more thing about Blade TV is that they also have, like, the move is to television, whether it be Apple TV or the Windows Media Center. And right now, Blip TV has RSS feeds which can be played in your Windows Media Center, which is very cool. And
I just wanted to kind of to move to a different kind of area of the discussion, and we can talk about the technology some more too. So if you have questions about, you know, equipment and that kind of stuff, feel free to go ahead and ask. But what I wanted to kind of move into is kind of where you guys, you know, as vloggers, where you get your inspiration to vlog. Like, what makes you say, this is something I need to vlog, and so I'm grabbing my camera right now and shooting some video? Or how do you plan for your episodes? Because I know some do episodes.
Hate mail. No, it can be good, though, you know. I know, like, on the way here, James and I were just talking about different stuff, and we came up with two new ideas for videos just on the way here, just from talking. And, you know, it's just, for me, you know, you kind of get this mindset of when you're trying to produce content that you're always thinking about things in a different way. When I first started my blog and I was writing, I would, every day I would notice something and go, I can write about that. And now it's, I see something and go, you know, that, taking this kind of angle, I can make a video about that. You just, when you get in that mindset, things just come to you in everyday life, for me, anyways.
I've been, just personal YouTube clips I've been posting on my blog. I've been doing a lot of YouTube. I have a background writing editorials and commentary. And the way I choose what to do is, you know, what has really, what have you woken up thinking about that morning? What's really stuck in your brain? A lot of blogger issues for me. You know, I did a little YouTube clip or commentary about, you hear so much negativity about the blogosphere and people hiring bloggers and it's not working out for them. There are people, companies, entire companies issuing mandates never to hire bloggers. And it really upset me. I was like, why would you hire somebody who wasn't blogging? I can't understand why you wouldn't hire anybody these days who wasn't blogging, because they bring their entire social network that they've created through their blog to that position. They bring that to their company. They bring that, you know, wonderful social network with them. So I felt very strongly about that issue. You've got to really have an opinion, I think, and really be a good opinionista, I think, to do sort of commentary well. And it's just something you feel passionate about.
For me, with my family, because it's a family video blog and because I record a lot of my children, I try to have the camera handy all the time for, you know, funny things that they might do, or just things that I want to remember later on when they get older. And like, for example, my most recent video I posted, my daughter will be going to school coming up this August. And so I was sitting there one morning just thinking about that these mornings are never going to be the same again. We just kind of, you know, I wake up, I get my coffee, we kind of sit and watch TV for the first hour or so of the morning, and it's kind of relaxed, and I realize it's never going to be the same again. So I just grabbed my video camera and just recorded the TV, recorded them, you know, kind of snuggled on the floor together. And it may be boring to somebody else, but to me later on, I'll look back on that and have it recorded and archived for myself. So.
Yeah, hi, I'm Patrick Gall. I'm a blogger, and I'm very interested in vlogging, and I have probably 20 hours of tape. I've got a Sony hard disk cam, and in particular, I'm doing kind of a historical review with my mother, who's 88 and is probably not going to be with us forever, and trying to get a history of the family and so forth. If I could back it up a few feet, where did you get, you know, the skills? I mean, you said you had a background in film. I don't know if everybody did. I don't. And so sometimes I look at what I've done and I think, that's crap, and I didn't get the lighting right. And, you know, so what is available locally to help a guy like myself or anybody just get some of those basic skills? Because I'm inspired as hell, but I don't always have the talent to do what I want to do.
Freevlog.org. Mm-hmm. It's a great place.
There's a book. If you go to freevlog.org, you'll see it gives you step-by-step and screencasts as well to help you through the process of setting up a video blog for free. And this book here is the book version of it. It's called Secrets of Video Blogging. and it's a really good resource. And for me, when I first started, I just kind of taught myself. I used iMovie, which is really, really easy to use. And I think if you're on Windows, the program that's kind of similar to that is Windows Movie Maker. And that's pretty...
it's not as easy.
Okay. Anyway, iMovie was pretty simple for me to just teach myself how to do. And there's manuals, I'm sure, that you can read up on and just kind of teach yourself.
Here in Atlanta, there are many wonderful organizations that are, their long history of filmmaking. Women in Film, for instance, very strong group here in Atlanta. There's also Image Film and Video. They all have a long history of filmmaking here in the Southeast. And so there are some professional organizations that are a great way to start and join, start talking to people who are cinematographers or editors. Image Film and Video, IMAGE. I'm sure it's image.com or something. And then Women in Film is great, and there are a couple other professional organizations I can't think of off the top of my head. But
we have a couple of books we'll hand out at the end of this session by raffle, and these two right here, and they have some good tips in them too. So, and this one in particular I have, and it has some good tips for lighting and rigging your own kind of light set. It's called Digital Video Hacks.
Yeah, my first couple of videos that I did, I just didn't know. I set the camera up and I stood in front of it, and then when I was done, I mean, the wind was blowing in the microphone and there was a big lawnmower in the background. I didn't notice it. And then the second one I did, I had the window behind me and you couldn't see anything. It's just, you know, trial and error, at least in the beginning, and then going out and watching more videos that other people were doing and go, oh, look what they did with that. I can do that. And between that and some of the online resources, it just, in practice, really was for me.
There's also a really big video blogging community out there. There's a Yahoo video blogging group. If you have any kind of questions, technical questions, or any kind of questions, I mean, there's a lot of people out there willing to help.
So. And one more thing I just want to add is like I spend my early 20s like trying to be a filmmaker, and always seemed that I never got anything done. You know, and it's more important. You just like in a sense like video blogging kind of makes you or forces you. You just make stuff, or make videos, and I'm less concerned about lighting, less concerned about all these things. Not because I care less, but it just kind of forces you to just do something, and that's the most important thing. I think just do it.
Yeah. Just post it.
Just post it.
Okay. My name is Len Witt, and I have my blog called PJNet. And I just, a few minutes ago, we had like a group of people went upstairs and had a little hands-on practice on podcasting. And, you know, a lot of people came. There were like 15 or 20 people in the room. And I'm wondering if out of this session somehow we can sort of set up small meetings like that over a period of time where people come together, you know, novices and people who have a little bit more experience and just kind of trade secrets and sit around and show videos and teach each other how to do stuff rather than be totally isolated. And my guess is we could probably get at least 4 or 5 people together at every session and maybe a lot more than that. And we could do it from podcasting. And I like to play around with vlogs. And I find it, you know, relatively easy if you're not going to do really great stuff because you can use a little point-and-shoot camera and tie that stuff together. And another one, Serious Magic, is it's a little expensive, but you can do some really neat stuff with Serious Magic. So,
one good thing that mainstream media still is for, if there is such a thing anymore, but is for watching, you know, watch the nightly news shows. They're really good because they're it's all done by professional folk talks. A lot of them using the same kind of equipment we are now, and they're using the digital cameras and stuff, but there's still, you know, there are a lot of basics to putting a news package together and just, you know, watch the news shows, for instance, from a production standpoint now, not just to sit there and get your news, but check out their camera angles, check out how they've shot their B-roll, you know, lighting technique and audio. Always pay extreme attention to your audio issues because if you don't have good audio, if nobody can hear it. You could get away with a lot of crappy video, as we've noticed on YouTube. But if you can't hear your crappy video, then you're really screwed. So make sure you always pay lots of attention to how audio is crafted.
Another thing is it doesn't necessarily have to look like TV because it's not TV. It's a totally different thing. And you know, it's a brand new medium, and so it's, don't be afraid to make it look low budget. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big thing, I think.
Hi, my name is Mike Silverman. I work in search engine optimization and internet marketing. So my question to you is, what are you doing to promote your video casts? What are you doing to get on the search engines? Are you blogging? What are you doing to get the word out?
I can I add to that?
No.
I'll add to it after you answer. Videos have no text, so how do the search engines even get them? It's just something.
You get your descriptions and your tags for your videos.
I know. I'm just saying.
Sorry,
I'm just adding on to that to for you to think about. Okay.
Well, actually, MIT has a program now that figures out words, and it's totally searchable.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I derailed.
That went right over my head.
I'm not into tags yet, and I think I should be. And I haven't really optimized my site for any search engine. Maybe I should talk to you about it. But most of the time, it's more like word of mouth. I promote my site, like one viewer at a time, really, in a sense. You know, like some site links to me, and then I get some traffic. It kind of grows like that. And yeah, pretty much. It's, I mean, I don't use any fancy coding.
The main thing I do is comment on other people's videos. I'm subscribed to about 70 feeds in my aggregator, and so when I see a video I like or I have a thought about, I'll just go comment on it. And usually somebody will read my comment and probably go check out my site as well. So, and that makes you feel as well a part of the community.
That's an excellent way. Yeah. Comment on other people's videos, and they'll comment back to you. And it's, you know, a nice little two-way street you can build there. Also, cultivate mainstream, you know, some old-fashioned marketing techniques. You've got this product, and you like it, and you've created it, spent a lot of time. Tell mainstream media about it. Send them an email. Send them a notice. Use the same old marketing. Try to get mainstream media interested in new media and what you're doing. What's in it for them? They're always looking for stories. They're always looking for new material. There are a lot of reporters who are, you know, just mining YouTube to find cool things. There's a guy here in town named, he's not here today, unfortunately. He's done a really, really nice show called My Urban Report. And it's all sort of what's going on in urban Atlanta. And he's put some together, some really nice packages. And he's out there, you know, he's just constantly marketing his channel, which is My Urban Report on Blip TV. And it's really nice work. And people are starting to notice, mainstream media is starting, you know, he's been written up in things, and he's got a good product. So if you got a good product, just tell people.
One of the things I do, because of Intune, I do a lot of local music and for artists, for bands. I'll do videos for them. They link to me on their website, so they're fans. So hey, let's check out this video. Oh, cool, I like the other videos, so and kind of build a community there, and. It seems to work. Going back to Blip, another thing that's cool about Blip is that they provide a MySpace code. So you can, I think we talked about that actually. So I'll send the band because mostly all bands have MySpace pages right now, right? So I'll send them the MySpace code, they'll just put it in their MySpace page and it's there. It's back. And
yeah, we've had good success with social networking sites like MySpace and Facebook.
Okay, this is Ken Brown, e3clink.com. I'm a business coach, and what I wanted to ask a question of, how much time does it take? Well, what's the amount of time on a VVOG? Is it 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
The length of the show itself?
Right.
Can be anything from a few seconds to, my personal stuff is 3 to 5 minutes. Comedy show we do might be 5 to 6 minutes. But I don't think the Scoble show is close to is like an hour.
Yeah.
You know, he interviews startup CEOs and stuff and anywhere in between, really.
Yeah, I read somewhere the attention span now for small TV is Jeff Jarvis at Buzz Machine is now termed termed it small TV versus big TV. So anything you see on the internet, small TV. And I think something said people really start to fade out and their attention span starts to fade after 2 minutes. So, you know, keep it short. You know, stay on topic, you know, stay very focused and keep it short. People's attention spans are so limited these days.
Okay. And the next question is, do you memorize what you have to say or do you have cards? I mean, how do you
do a lot of takes?
Actually, we use a little teleprompter software for your laptop for, I think it's about $150, and we use that on True Grits. We have to use a teleprompter because we're so bad, and we were burning up so much space and tape with so many takes that we just finally broke down and bought some teleprompter software, and it's like $150, easy download. And it really helped us save time by using the teleprompter.
This Digital Video Hacks book also tells you how to rig up a teleprompter to sit right in front of your screen. I don't know if you have something like that or...
Oh, no, it'll turn your laptop screen into a teleprompter. So you stick your laptop here and you turn your DV cam on and you go, "Hi, welcome to True Grits. Today we're back to talk about fried chicken," you know, and you just rewrite like the anchors do. "Hi, how y'all doing?" And you know, and it just reads out on your laptop. It turns your... It's really nice.
What's the name of this?
I can't remember. I'm sorry. Does anybody use teleprompter software? And, you know, Google teleprompter software and I'm sure you'll pop it right up. Great product.
VersionTracker.com has like a whole bunch of software you can check that you should find.
Yeah.
VersionTracker.
Serious Magic does the same thing. It really is easy. You just sort of drag and drop your video units right next to your text, and when it's going, it works as a teleprompter at the same time as your video or stills or whatever it is, and it's all coordinated, and you're looking out this way if you're, you know, doing yourself, and you're looking just kind of right beyond your computer screen. So it looks like natural once you get it down, but Serious Magic is really excellent for that kind of stuff.
Hey, my name is Stephanie Roberts. I'm a partner with Listen Share, and I have a personal blog, Cool People I Know, and have done some videos and podcasts on that blog. And one of the things that has been interesting to me is I've posted my videos up to Blip TV primarily as a hosting platform and then play them within my blog. But I also posted the videos to YouTube just to sort of see what would happen. And I found that massive amounts of views, which was really surprising on a particular video. So I'm wondering if, while I'm trying to drive traffic more to my blog, less to YouTube, if you're finding the same thing where Blip is a hosting area for you and then YouTube is more promotion or videos that could just sort of drive people to you if you're using it that way at all.
I haven't found that Blip TV actually drives traffic to my site, but I have gotten a lot of views, and maybe they might go back to Google and type in the actual name of the blog. But I haven't gotten any direct links from them. There was like one video which got like 3,000 hits in one day, and after that it just like, you know, it just slowed down again. So I mean, I don't know. It's pretty. I don't try to promote my Blip TV blog. I just keep it. You know, it's like whatever. You know.
There are a lot of these video platforms that are looking for content. They want your content. They want you to start creating it. I had Veo, is it Vibio or Veo? Yeah. Bio, how do you pronounce it?
Veo.com.
Veoh.com. They contacted me and said, you know, we like your product. I don't know how they saw it. I have no idea. I should ask them, actually. And they said, we like it. We'll promote it. Will you let us have your video show and we'll help you promote it? Because, you know, they're out there. They're challenging YouTube. They're challenging Blip TV. And they need products. So a lot of these people will help you promote your video, too. There's a lot of good matchup there.
For your question, I kind of struggle with the same thing. I mean, should I put myself on YouTube? And, you know, it's away from my side and, you know, Will they be able to find my site and link back and take part in the discussion, or should I move the discussion to YouTube? And it's, I don't know. It's something that James and I talk about a lot. Should we put our stuff out on a bunch of sites, or try to bring it all into our site? I don't know.
I think O'Reilly had like a nice little essay about like just kind of getting your stuff out there and not worrying about whether you actually are profiting from it. In a sense, like, because like you are no name in this. in a sense. And it's about, it's better to kind of get your stuff out there and getting views. When I kind of surf the web, I tend to like bookmark things after I see them a couple of times. Like the name pops up, like Z Frank. You know, I saw his stuff and I was like, wow, pretty cool. I bookmarked it, I didn't watch his stuff. I came back to it, but someone else said, hey, Z Frank again. And so the third, you know, second or third time is when you kind of make a connection somehow. And I think putting it on YouTube and stuff is great because people will see the name and recognize it when they actually need to bookmark it.
Could any of you comment on how, as Shelby from ShelbyNanner.com again, could you comment on any, how you use music, if you do at all, in your videos in order to, as either background, Grayson, like you were talking about, bad audio does kill things, and background music does sort of mask out a lot of background noise, or you could also use it as bumpers and transitions, and if you do, where do you get your music, and do you worry about the RIAA, et cetera?
I'll address that. I normally get permission from the band if I'm filming a band, or I will create a loop through Soundtrack Pro software. That's normally how I do it. But I make sure I get permission. I don't just show up somewhere and say, hey, I'm going to film you.
I make Jeff Haney compose my music. I mean, this guy can do anything. You know, so many of these people are so multi-talented that you start working with, or it'll suddenly he's like, hey, can I help you go do your shoot? And I was doing a little project for Jeff, and you know, he ends up sending me the thing he composed. What did you use to compose that music on? It was fabulous.
I mean, Audacity.
And Audacity?
Yeah, so I'm not being recorded, but I think it was iStock Music or something like that. There's plenty of these global free music out there. We kind of mashed up a couple of tracks, which I can pay $29 each track, mashed them up in Audacity, which we first time I ever used Audacity or something like this, and it was pretty simple. And then we sent it to post production people and layered it in the video. So it's pretty easy. We started with the same thing.
Just to recap for the podcast, he said that he uses Audacity and plenty of sites out there that provide royalty-free music, and I think that pretty much captured that.
I actually have a composer who actually composed. She can be a job, so she has time.
We use a lot of the Apple loops that comes with like GarageBand or Soundtrack. They're royalty free. Probably the majority we use that. We also use things like PodSafe Audio. I'm not sure if that's like the website, but you can go find websites where they have Creative Commons, you know, music. And I just usually email someone, say, "Hey, I'm going to use this in my video. Thanks for the releasing it with Creative Commons."
One site I use too is IOTA PromoNet, and it has a lot of mainstream music on there that also offer certain number of their tracks as promo tracks that you're allowed to use in podcasts and video podcasts.
I think we can take probably one more question, and then we need to hand out the books.
Hi, my name is Pam. Are any of you making any money off what you're doing, and how are you paying for your composers and editors, etc.?
I'll say no.
No, I'm gonna say yes.
Yes.
I'm hiring myself out to produce video for other people that need it, and they pay me for my services and for my experience and expertise, or lack thereof, or what. But so yes, I am starting to monetize the small TV concept.
So your show is like.
True Grits is, for instance, you can also consider it as it's your audition tape too. It's your reel. It's your pilot. You make it in good faith and you shop it around to the people that do have the money.
I've been doing plenty of jobs from that site. I haven't made any money from it, from advertising money or promotion or whatever, but plenty of jobs from that site. people have kind of said, oh, cool, we can do this OVO kind of thing.
Yeah, my personal stuff, I don't really have an interest, but with our weekly show, we've just gotten off the ground the last 2 months, but we've through that, we've had one local company contact us to do some work for them, and we're just now starting to talk about if we're going to do ads or how we can, if we want to even want to make money with it at some point.
This has nothing to do really with my personal video blog, but in having this experience with video blogging, I've learned that I really do like editing a lot, and so I've had people ask me to do wedding videos for them and do, and I know a lot of families just record a lot of footage of their kids and they don't really do anything with it, and so I would eventually like to get started in helping out other people put together some videos and stuff like that, so.
All right, well, I think we're out of time, so we'll hand out these books, but everyone give our panelists a hand. Thank you for being here.
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on Magnatune.com. Thanks for listening to Unconcast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of Unconcast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.